Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan. I'm your host, Rams Mabot. I'm truly enjoying this journey of talking to real human beings. I've been chasing the wrong guys all this time. I'm having fun. But December, boss. And things happen in this time of the year, right? We have fun. We do things so that we enjoy after a long year. You know, we relax and we treat ourselves to things. Now, one of the things that I've always been fascinated about is something called whiskey. And I thought we should talk about whiskey, especially before you go invest your money in whiskey, so that you understand what this thing is about and you know how to consume it, why it matters, why we have these airs about it, and you know why we don't put apple juice in a whiskey, with apologies to apple juice. So, you know, I thought I should invite a friend because I'd like to call him a whiskey expert, which he is, but primarily he's as my friend, but because he knows about whiskey, I thought I should call him and let's talk about this game, all its intricacies and idiosyncrasies. Guys, you know, so Tammy Banda is here to talk to me about it. I call him Mambo, he calls me Mambo, and we can always explain to you why. Well, he's changed now that he understands me. Are you good?
I'm good, Mambo. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. You know, as you would have noticed, I've now moved this podcast to something else. I thought that, you know, I've bothered about people who make laws and affect us every time, and I forgot about people who get affected. Yes. So I met you in 2007. Yeah.
Around this area,
not far from here, right? And we were, you know, on the media side. But ever since you left that world, you've been in the world of whiskey now for
it's almost 19 years.
Getting almost close. 19 years, right? And I'm not going to introduce. I'll let you introduce yourself and what you do.
Yes.
But you've been in the world of whiskey, and I must say, I've been privileged to be taught so much about whiskey through you. You know, before I met you, there was a guy called Mtunzimbali who had also taught me some things about whiskey.
Yeah.
And then you came in and you took it to another level. You know, at least you also called me. You know, there's this thing about whiskey, and I don't want to spoil it now, that, you know, people say, no, don't put a mixture, don't do this. I understood it when I was told, but you made me understand it even much clearer about why we don't put things that have been removed out of this thing. So, welcome.
Thank you.
What should we call you? What do you do? What happens?
Oh, well, I'm grateful to whiskey to be associated with it.
Yeah.
So if I were to be called anything, I'd rather be Tammy Banda.
But okay.
Because of work, I serve as a brand ambassador for the Macallan in Southern Africa. And it's been a journey with whiskey like almost 19 years, like I said earlier. So there is connotation with spending time in the whiskey space,
yeah.
And then people call you all types of names. I've been called a connoisseur, I've been called an expert, you said that earlier. But I still remain Tammy Banda, who is just passionate about whiskey and the lessons that you can pick out of it.
What is it about whiskey that makes it stand alone other than other alcoholic drinks, right? And I dare I add, with some air of importance as compared to its brethren.
Probably there are two things that when you think about whiskey, I feel these are very special and they define it. Time and balance. Time in a sense that there is investment to time. I mean, the spirit itself does not qualify to be called a whiskey unless it's 3 years plus one day in a barrel. So there's no whiskey.
Anything less is not a whiskey.
It's a spirit. So if you are distilling in your own
home, it's good enough for me to use it after shaving my head.
Taking current affairs out of current affairs. So it's a spirit if it's 3 years in a bottle.
Yeah.
That one day on a calendar year is critical to say now it qualifies to be a whiskey, which makes me to have a very geeky explanation sometimes. And you say, if you drink a 12-year-old whiskey, you're actually drinking a 15-year-old spirit that only tends to be a whiskey after 3 years. So you can imagine time is essence. Number two, when I talk about balance, it's relationship with nature, because you cannot have a whiskey unless, by Scottish Whiskey Association at least, it's been matured on in a barrel that is an oak barrel that is probably about 600 liters. So it has a relationship with nature.
So there are those specifics.
Oh, time and balance create whiskey. But isn't that interesting that that's what life is about? Time and balance. And the meaning of whiskey itself is water of life.
So you introduced something that I was going to deal with later. But now that you've mentioned it, I want to deal with that.
Yeah.
When you said by Scottish standards, at least, right?
Yeah.
Now, we know that there is Scottish whiskey and there are other whiskies.
Yeah.
You know, closest by location it would be Irish,
yeah.
And then there's some stuff that Americans make and also yeah. called whiskey.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Although there's a huge difference. The first one is the style. Excuse me, there's a style in making whiskey. The Scottish people predominantly distill twice. The Irish people predominantly distill three times.
Yeah.
You do find cross standards where the Scottish are distilling three times and the Irish are distilling twice by product. But the key one is the point of distillation.
Okay.
And it's influenced by history as well, why the Irish people distill predominantly three times. Because there was a time actually where people could be taxed because they have barley farms. And by harvest, they would determine if you are just producing it for food or you are also distilling somewhere. And if you had malted barley, so barley that is soaked in water for a long period
yeah.
of time, there was then assumption that you are going to distill, so you are going to make a little bit of money, so you are taxed a little bit more.
Mm.
And the Irish discovered that, no, we can't do that. We need both malt and unmalted barley in order to create our whiskey, which also demanded a different style of distillation. That's the major difference. The funny one that people take for granted, because our laptops are not that educated in language, is in spelling. K-E-Y
yes.
of the whiskey
yeah.
is Irish or American. K-Y
is Scottish.
Will always be Scottish.
Yeah.
But in any case, if you asked me which one is my preference, it's very simple. I've never watched any movie and they've never asked for a scotch.
Right, that's what they call it. Give me a scotch.
Give me a scotch, yeah. Yeah.
Is that the origin, though? Does it originate from Scotland?
Not entirely. History tells us that the culture of distillation comes from monks, actually. And because of movement in terms of religion, anybody could own it.
Mm.
I don't choose to look at either the Irish and the Scottish as originators. I look at it as how do we create a point of difference in order for people to appreciate whiskey the way we know it right now. So origins, actually, you'll discover that distillation and the word alcohol itself is Arabic. And they were distilling for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, because they're not known for people who drink alcohol.
Exactly.
Right?
So it just shows you that an idea somewhere, when it arrives in a certain time, at a certain place, it evolves to become something else, which goes back to what I said earlier. Whiskey is about time and space, well, time and balance.
So I'm going to ask you a question that I have failed to ask you in almost in almost 20 years.
Perhaps it's because you enjoy the whiskey rather than thinking of questions.
Is there good and bad whiskey?
I do think that there's an educated palate.
So it's more about the consumer.
It's more about a consumer. I mean, I make a very interesting analogy every time people ask me about how to enjoy whiskey. So we're getting to the point of whether good or bad. And I highlight the fact that I was born in KwaZulu-Natal in the northern part. Mm-hmm. The southern part of KwaZulu-Natal is Durban side. So I don't make a mistake and say I was born in Durban. No, I was born in Stenga, Kwatuguza.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you go to the southern
part. So I wonder why you didn't turn up as a taxi driver. Or
I was taken to Joburg when I was 13.
Okay.
So if you go down to the southern part and you'd find a township called Chatsworth. Chatsworth probably has the highest concentration of Golf 1 cars.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they don't no, look like the ones
More than Eldos?
I think so.
Okay.
But the ones that you find in Chatsworth, I don't think they're the ones that the Germans made. They have a lower suspension,
yeah,
bigger tires.
Yeah. They're recreated.
Yeah, a flame at the door. Golf 1 has a sunroof in Chatsworth. It can be a two-door. it has no trunk. It has a music system, right?
Okay.
If you ask the
you
Germans
tune me.
That... Yeah, I tune you, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And they are in a posy. if you were to ask the Germans, do they have a problem with that? They would appreciate the fact that these guys love a Golf 1.
Yes.
And I think that's the standard even in the whiskey space. We appreciate the fact that you're associated with it. How you develop a palate for it is individually driven. But we are also here to say, be careful of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, I like that because it takes us to the next part, which is, I think, the part that everybody wants to hear. It's the longest debate that's been there. it's what people worry about. It separates even families. You know, people like, yeah, when Zenza, no, no. How should we have this thing? Because you just said it's how one wants to appreciate it, right? Yeah. But, you know, when I started drinking whiskey, and I was taught to drink whiskey by a guy called Ronnie Morris, may his soul rest in peace. You know, and I was a young journalist, and he taught me to drink this thing. So I had had one at college, you know, famous Grouse,
with
orange juice.
And then I
went to work in Cape Town for the Cape Times, and I met Ronnie Morris. And Ronnie Morris said, no, we don't have whiskey with anything. Can but put ice in it, but that's about it. And I was then condemned. Even by the time I met you, I was a whiskey drinker.
Yeah.
I probably was not as educated about it, but that's how I was drinking it. And I then learned that's how I should have whiskey, until I was at a whiskey tasting and you said to people, no, they can have it in other ways. How should people have whiskey?
Look, the first one is to have whiskey in it. I'll give an example about it. If it takes us a minimum of 8 years for a tree that comes from the US to create a white oak barrel, and a minimum of 100 years to have a red oak barrel coming from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before a spirit is distilled. So a tree has to be 100 years if it's from Europe, minimum 8 years if it's from the States.
Mm-hmm.
If the tree alone takes so much time, why would you not trust it to dilute the spirit to give you its best? That's the first thought.
Yeah.
The second thing is the art of patience around it. And this is where you talk about the economics of scale in the whiskey industry. You have these trees that are so old that are meant to mature this spirit for a minimum of 15 years if you calculate that it's 3 years plus one day to have a 12-year-old. But in all these years, you're paying people with a product you've never tried in the market if it's successful. Okay? So shortly by the time you package it, you're very, very sure that this is the standard of what we wanted to create. And when people start to enjoy it from the word go with Sprite,
with due respect to Sprite,
you are then saying, I'm not too sure if you were too good to create what you wanted to make.
Yeah. So you spent 15 years doing nothing. I don't trust you guys. I'm going to put something on top of this.
Exactly. So, I mean, imagine if you went to Bentley and you said, change the rims first before I drive it. Okay. So there's something that you are already saying I'm not comfortable about.
Yeah.
Okay. Surely from a commercial perspective, we'll allow you to do that. But
because it's your money, right?
Yeah. But my first preference of it and my advice all the time is try this thing neat.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways to try it neat. And if you try it neat and then you realize, oh, for me it needs a splash of salt.
Yeah.
Then put a splash of salt.
Hopefully not.
No, but hopefully not. You know, I grew up with a grandfather who was a chef.
Yeah.
And my grandfather hated, he would tempt you intentionally during dinner time, put all spices and sauces on the table like we always do. And if you cut a piece of meat and you eat, then you add any seasoning, he was very happy. But if you seasoned before you tried, he said, how do you know that that's not what I thought?
Yeah, what are you saying about my cooking?
That teaching in my heritage alone taught me that if I have to try whiskey, I have to try it neat first. And mind you, when I joined the industry, I was a non-drinker. I had not taken a cider. I had not taken a beer. My first encounter with whiskey. My first encounter with whiskey was whiskey neat. Okay.
Jeez. From a guy who drank soft drinks to go drink this thing neat.
Have I explored other options? Yes. What is my default? Neat. And I'm not only appreciating it for myself, but it's in honor of the people who are involved in the process, believing that this is the standard of what they wanted to create.
Doesn't that scare people away from it, or even make them feel that is rather snobbish to be telling me that the best way to have it is neat? Although you're not insisting that they should, but doesn't that scare people from being consumers of this liquid?
We do run that risk if people observe you. But let me also throw in an interesting point to think about. Whatever happens, Dan tried to kick a goal with his left foot, no matter what position he was at. And that's what made his goals to be classic, right? So one of the things that we should appreciate is Tammy has an interpretation of whiskey. And when he has that interpretation of whiskey, does it make logic to you? If it makes logical sense to you, try it out.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I'm willing to embrace you. But one thing that I've known in my space is that anybody who has sat down with me to enjoy whiskey has at least learned to pick up two or three flavors that they would have not picked up if they added something else.
Yeah.
Let's give you a silly argument. Excuse me. think about the concept of saying, I'm adding water, and I'm running away from ice for now. I'm just adding a splash of water. And there's this beautiful notion that says when you add a splash of water into whiskey, you're opening its flavors.
You're
so snobbish about it. Like, you know, you gotta open it up, and you know, the theater behind it. My concept of it is that it has never been written that the flavors are closed up until you add a drop of water. And that's the first
Before you continue. So there's this fellow, and I'm going to name names.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he's asked why he's not adding something to it, he picks up the bottle and says, show me where it's written that I should add anything.
I'm off the same concept to say, wait, I've not been told this, okay? But then let's interrogate the concept of saying it opens up the flavors and put science into it. Science tells me that if there is a volume of whiskey that is 25 mils, and that whiskey is 43% alcohol by volume, most likely if you add a drop of water, that 43% moves down to anything.
Yes.
So that idea is meant to make whiskey palatable, not opening the flavors, right?
Yeah.
Because if we were doing that...
Or acceptable to your palate.
Yeah, just make it acceptable to your palate. The only danger with it, as my mentor used to say, is that the amount of water that you've put in, you'll never take out. So you gotta be wise about what you put in and the amount that you put in.
Yeah.
So I cannot even tell you, a drop of water, a splash of water. But what I say is, let's work on making whiskey palatable to you. Then we come to the second concept on the drinking style, ice, right? And the argument that I've heard from a South African perspective by being a South African citizen is that, oh no, the weather in Scotland is quite cold here, we're quite warm, so we gotta chill it again, right? Again, I don't want to be like your friend who says, no, but it's not served best, or it's best served chilled. No, I don't want to go there. But think about it this way. The ratio of ice melting against your ratio of appreciation is not consistent. So your whiskey is not tasting the same.
Yeah, the longer you have it, the more
So
the ice would have then melted.
So if I had one sip of a 25 mils with you and I had a block of ice in it since we started, and you've picked yours twice, same drink, and I haven't picked mine. Mine has changed from the first sip I took, because as ice is melting, it's diluting the whiskey. It's watering it down as much as it is chilling it. So again, I go back to the concept of saying, there are things that you should say, I want to add something because I've picked up what it is not.
Yeah.
But if you have not trialed it as what it is, I think you're denying yourself an opportunity to experience.
So one last question on this line of questioning.
Sure.
I then have also been to a number of events where you've introduced me to something I didn't know, and now I see it on menus, right?
Yeah.
Whiskey sours.
Yeah.
What is that, and why was that necessary? Was it to make it easy for people who haven't developed the palate to introduce them to whiskey?
Whiskey, and I'm going to speak about whiskey in particular, but this statement applies to appreciation of good drinks in general. They have something to do with the social status, because your pocket is also measured by what you appreciate. And by virtue of being embraced in society, we use that a lot. A concept of a cocktail, we can talk about a whiskey sour or whichever one, comes through because there are people who want to fit in, but the palate has not developed or evolved enough to appreciate what we take neat, right? But they want to fit in. Not every football fan is a footballer.
Yeah.
Right. So again,
a lot of them.
Yeah. Thank you. I didn't go where we could go, you and I. But so because you want people that want to be part of the category, you cannot exclude yourself from those experiences. So if somebody came to me actually and said, oh, now I enjoy my whiskey diluted, I should have an answer to say, have you tried a whiskey sour? So I've also had to check, what cocktails would I prefer?
Yeah.
And what would I make when I'm at home comfortably? So whiskey sour is one of the easiest ones that I could make. It doesn't help that the lemon part for the whiskeys that I like create a foundation for you to even have flavors accentuated, even if you were to drink it neat afterwards.
I'll tell you what the sours has done for me, right? I've always never been a cocktail drinker.
Yeah.
But the sours works because I'm a whiskey drinker. So when the base is whiskey, because on the other cocktails there are this vodka, this water, yeah, yeah. Right? When the base is, I can relate to this thing. Right?
Yes.
Even though because of my corruptedness, I would not do too many sours because I want to go to the real thing at some point. So I get the concept of that, and I appreciate that. So let's move on to something else.
Sure.
And I'm going to start it with, there's a clip that makes round. I think this guy is Asian, right? so I can't say whether it's Chinese or Japanese. I've never known, but he's Asian.
Yeah.
And he's playing golf and drinking a Macallan 12.
Yeah.
And he's they ask him why he's not drinking a 15. Ah, it's expensive, man. I'm drinking a 12.
Yeah. You know,
he makes a joke about this thing.
Yes.
Is cost a factor that has made people either appreciate or not appreciate this drink, or even a factor that has made people feel that they are special because they're drinking this thing that is not non-expensive?
So before I answer that, I think I have to go to my Asian friend.
Yes.
I think I've received that clip more than
20 times. I'm sure you get it more than anybody else.
For the past, I think, 2 years, it's been circulating for that long. One of the things that people never pay attention to is which 12 that guy is drinking.
Yes.
He's actually drinking the most expensive 12 you can find in the market.
Yeah.
So he drinks the Macallan 12 Sherry. Factor in price. I do feel that there is that. Price does matter, you know.
Like size. No, I mean, like, I wear size. And you wear size.
Yeah,
like, you won't wear my shoes.
Size
I won't
of
wear
a Glen Ken glass against
the whiskey. That's what I meant. Yeah.
So, or have a...
you made the point.
Long serve. I think price does matter. It's true. But again, there is a point where we say the appreciation of whiskey is in the process. That's why we speak about time. You know, it's in the process. It's in what we may define when we talk about it, the heritage of what goes behind the scenes. I'll give you an example. To get a good sherry cask from Europe is £1,000. And that may probably give you a certain amount of liters of whiskey before you package. And you may use it once, depending on which distillery that you are, right? And again, these are costs incurred before a product is sold.
Yeah.
It's in hope, right? So if you think about that, it also emphasizes the type of quality that is involved in it. So I don't see the price as the key determining factor of why it doesn't move from the shelf, but I do see the price as the measure of investment that has gone behind the scenes in every expression. And that's how I view whiskey and its price point.
I like that, and I'll tell you why I like it. And I want you to help me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I have found that I'll walk into a liquor store.
Yeah.
And I'm unlikely to see any particular whiskey, even if I was not looking for it. But it don't jump at me, right?
Yeah.
And I may walk away not having bought one, or if I was intentional, I would go look for it, right?
Yes.
But I would have to be told it's there
it's
or
there.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But at a restaurant...
Yes.
The whiskey jumps at me.
Yes.
And it jumps at me because it is written Macallan 12.
Yes. Like,
yes. Therefore, I see it. It's there. Is that a factor? I mean,
it's a huge factor. It's a huge factor. And I always...
And by the way, before you even finish,
which
is strange because there at the restaurant is going to be more expensive than if I had gone to look for it at a liquor store.
I was actually going to that thought to say one of the most interesting things about the restaurant price is that it's higher than what a retail price would have been, right? So the importance of the restaurant or on consumption side, as we call it in our language, is that you actually see the product at a minimum twice as much.
Yeah.
Mostly when you walk into a restaurant, you will definitely see the bar area. And it's designed that way, by the way. So you look at the bar area, and the first thing that says, that jumps into your eye is, I do have a drink of choice available. In case you couldn't see it, because obviously you're being ushered to a chair, right? Suppose you're in a...
Or you're walking in with this new friend, consumed by this friend.
You know? And you want to be in charge of the situation, right? You trust the menu to talk to you. So there's two advertising points that will engage the consumer. The bar point, which is static, the menu, which then talks to you as you wish.
Yeah.
So if you look at that, the retail space loses out on the clutter of what is in the shelf. And the importance of the on-con or restaurant space is that you have the menu to interact with you as clear, better even than what the bar could tell you. So it speaks to you, it tells you, it tells you the measure, it tells you the price point, it may even tell you the special that they are running. So because of that, it's very, very important to always have good relationships from a brand perspective with a restauranting site or on con space.
But could this be an opportunity for the retail people to even, when I get to the till with my whatever plonk, and they say, but do you know we have a, you know, that goes at this price? Like, could they upsell to me even at a till? I mean, this is not a waitress. This is a cashier.
I would even dare to call them customer service specialists.
Yes.
Mambo, you probably have heard me a number of times talking about this subject away from the whiskey space. I do feel that South Africa is poor when it comes to customer service. So you don't see an opportunity to upsell.
Yeah.
The people that I've respected most in my life of being in the consumer interaction space are actually filling stations attendant. Mm-hmm. Because even if you're putting full tank in your car, you've already specified what you're looking for, you've already estimated what the budget would be, they would still come with that pamphlet that tells you that X pie plus two products is worth so much. Mm. So they are upselling. Mm. We don't use the opportunity to upsell because, number one, we're not interested in educating ourselves on what we're selling. Number two, we take you for granted so much that we just care about the money that you pay us. And those are the two things that make retail space never grow in South Africa. I'm sorry to tell you that, but I hope that the clip flies so much that I get free consultation work.
I'm going to give this clip to that Asian fellow. He'll make it fly. So two last things, themes that I want us to talk about.
Sure.
There is a part of me that is unhappy with whiskey.
Okay. Great.
In spite of how much of it I consume, right? It's that I feel that whiskey has not done enough to immerse itself in other people's cultures. Mm-hmm. That I still have to reach out to whiskey. It does not reach out to me.
Yeah.
It does not come to the things that matter to me.
True.
Right?
True.
It still says, but this is how whiskey is. Forget about being African. Mm-hmm. Forget about being an Orlando Pirates fan.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Forget about whatever else that I am, and I am those things,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Am I being silly here?
No, it concerns me.
Yeah.
As a whiskey advocate, it concerns me. As a whiskey advocate who is an African, it even concerns me more.
Yeah.
In my own space, I've observed that there are things that we don't recognize in terms of the heritage of whiskey. We're doing very well in educating people about who we are, but embracing them on who they are to us, we've not paid attention to that. I'll give you silly examples that I have observed. Excuse me. If you think about a guy that I met, Rems Mabote, who is enjoying a whiskey with me at restaurant Y and is attending my whiskey tasting, and he gets affinity towards this brand and product that I'm talking about, and he says, I like the Macallan 12-year-old. I almost said 15. I like the Macallan 12-year-old, and I'm going back home, and there's a bride price reception. There are cultures and rituals.
Yeah.
And he thinks of Tammy and this great presentation that you did and how debonair you were as Rems to enjoy that 3-4-5 course meal. And you think it's a taboo to have your whiskey with Malamkhodu whilst we are doing all of these things.
Yeah.
Or to walk into a crawl, right? And make a call to the elders to say, no, we are receiving a bride price. That's where we've lagged. And in a small way, I'm keen and opening up to the concept of saying, let's speak whiskey in the language of the recipient than the one who is selling it.
Yes.
And that's very important for us to have a deep understanding of that. And I think it's not only in whiskey, Mambo. It's almost in every sector where we have a consumer. We seldomly pay attention to the consumer's view, but to what we do. And that's the advertising and the marketing that we've been taught in the past. In my space, I want to be comfortable to have a whiskey wearing a traditional Zulu attire, traditional Malawian attire, and also carry the tradition across.
Yeah.
So I don't stop halfway. So I will understand why a Zulu man, in his first shot, he pours his dram to the ground.
An African man, because that's what we do.
Yeah,
all so Africans do that.
He pours his dram on the ground. In fact, that dram is more powerful than the one he takes to his mouth, because it says, I embrace you alongside my bloodline.
I'm actually welcoming those that are not in the room. I'm putting them in this room.
They are with me, right? Yeah. One great South African, Andrew Mlangeni, I read his book, and one of the parts that was impressive, and this guy narrates a story And he says, Andrew Mlangeni was so unapologetic in appreciating his whiskey that he would be in the best bar in London. And the first shot was going to the ground.
Mm.
Right? So if you think about that, we will think, oh, it's a cardinal sin. But if you think about it from culture and heritage, that's more important for us to understand as producers to say, hang on, there is a way this thing can be appreciated or is appreciated by Africans with resonance far greater than our tradition and heritage.
So, and lastly then,
I don't think we should go.
No. I'm not concluding this. I'm still asking you a question. I'm not. When I conclude, I look at my people, not you. So, the last theme I want to touch on, as a question, and feel free, by the way, to speak to camera because you. I want you to address people who are listening to us now or who are watching us. Right. What is the things that you would want them to think about when they think about procuring, consuming whiskey in this period of celebration, of fun, of goodwill?
Well, since I was advised to go on camera, I'm hopeful that I got it right. The first thing is the name whiskey itself is water of life, and life is key. All right. In everything that we do, we should be alive to reflect on memories. So if you are going to appreciate whiskey, make sure that you'll be alive to share those memories with us. Let it not end with you in the festive period. Meaning, I'm saying let's appreciate responsibly. Firstly, don't drink and drive. That's very important. It doesn't only save your life, but it also saves the lives of those who are around you. The second thing is know your limit. And knowing your limit means create space to appreciate it the following day. When you start to feel that it's time for a nap, take that nap. There's nothing wrong. It allows whiskey to mellow in your own heart, and you wake up telling us beautiful dreams and memories about yesterday, and we are living today. The last part that I want you to also think about is create good circle of friends to appreciate whiskey. Otherwise, you would lose its passion.
And that's why I belong to some circle, you know, because I drink with people who appreciate this thing, right?
Yeah.
I must tell you, I thank you for what you've done for me to understand this thing more than I thought I understood it. So I consume it rather differently because I think I know what this thing is all about. But in fact, I just thought of a question now that we're talking to people. Because, you know, we are Kasi boys, right? And there are times when people, but this is Oktagal, and then it's Okshai whiskey.
Yeah. I think it goes back to the responsible consumption. I do think that 43% is not a joke from a South African perspective of alcohol by volume. Mind you, I'm quick to say that South Africa, by fortune, our government has decided that we are allowed now to bring whiskies at a minimum 40% ABV, which makes us to be more of a global standard, which is going to open up the market a little bit more, though, so people will have a bigger pie to select from. But let's be honest, irresponsibility of any kind is bad. So let's not be irresponsible in the name of.
So it's not so much the whiskey's Okshai, me being irresponsible.
It's sheer irresponsibility, Mambo. Yeah. I'll give you an example, and you've seen this when we are together. When we appreciate our whiskey, we still measure it.
We do, all the time.
And everybody thinks we are snobs. No, it's being mindful of the fact that this is something that is not from my body. It's outside into my body, and I need to make sure that my body reacts to it the way I would want it to react to it, right? And don't allow it to take over, okay? It's as good as saying, beautiful cars sometimes have a certain speed, but I have a certain speed limit, and I have been taught how to drive, and I've also been taught how to observe the rules. So there are rules of engagement with whiskey. Like anything that starts with W, there must be good rules of engagement.
You know, when I gave you this opportunity to speak to people, I thought you would even sell your product. But it's fine.
No.
Anyway, okay. No, I was about to say goodbye to you.
No. It would have been impossible to have a conversation about whiskey and never try it. So, excuse me. Suppose the clink makes it time, right?
Wow.
So, yeah. We're going to try a whiskey together. And I brought a bottle that your Asian friend probably speaks about quite a lot.
Yes.
So this is a Macallan 12-year-old sherry. And obviously, it has gone through a deeper investment in terms of cask selection and management.
And by the way, the sherry is so visible, right? And
yeah. One of the greatest things about the Macallan is that it keeps the natural color. So we don't add any colorant. Some whiskies do add a colorant into it to look gold, because obviously when people see the rich, intense color of gold, they then think the whiskey is worth its while in terms of price point. But the other thing is the relationship between the Macallan and Spain is quite deep. I know you and I have affinity with Spain a lot. So there's a lot that makes us to relate with whiskey. The Macallan owns a lot of sherry bodegas in Spain, so that we can create consistency in terms of our production line. Because if you control the production of sherry, you can determine what your spirit will become. Okay, so we literally focus on ownership from acorn, the plant itself as oak, right through to glass. So what you consume from a Macallan perspective since 1824, and I always say, by the way, Macallan should be best tasted at 24 minutes past 6, because it's 1824. Yeah. So,
look, it's not 1824, but let's do it. It's 1824 somewhere in the world, right? Let's do this.
So based on that concept, you then say from acorn to glass, we are very good in terms of ownership, and we focus on that story because we don't want anybody to interfere with our process.
I must tell you that I truly appreciate that you did not turn this into a sales thing and brought this thing in the beginning. I even did not know that you're going to bring it. Because also, the other part I appreciate about it is that you know me, because had we started earlier, I would not have finished this podcast. So I'm glad it's only at the end that I get to do this. Thank you very much for not playing into my weaknesses of this beautiful drink.
And by the way, whilst you say that, and I'm saying thank you, Mambo, one of the greatest things that I get asked quite often is, how many whiskies of the Macallan have I tasted, and which one is the oldest?
Yeah.
I've been fortunate to taste quite a number of great whiskies at the Macallan. But I'll tell you why every time, it doesn't matter what innovation we've got, why do I appreciate a 12-year-old? From a South African perspective, it takes you 12 years to complete your education system. It takes 12 months to complete a year. It takes a 12-hour clock to have 24 hours. So 12 is not an inferior number at any given point in time. And the best way of appreciating it, slunch.
Slangevoir.
Cheers, man. You can still see that I'm a traditionalist. Mm. I'm still whiffing.
So, it is this man, Tammy Banda. How do they find you? Because I think people must follow you so that they can then follow the culture of whiskey and come to your tastings and stuff like that. Where do they find you?
The basic and the easiest one is on the social media platform.
Okay.
On Instagram, and that's where you can find everything about me. Any other I kind of question, but Macallan Tammy on Instagram, that's the easiest way. And feel free to DM and we can chat about whiskey for sure.
Thank you, Mambo. And have a great Christmas.
Slange to Christmas.
Slange of all. Switch. And thank you for joining this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. I must apologize that you are joining virtually and therefore you can't join on the appreciation of this whiskey, but go find yourself one. It is an amazing whiskey. Thank you very much for following this content that we create here. Thank you to those of you who keep on supporting it and subscribing. If you haven't, please press the subscribe button, share and comment. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.